Good morning, White Inch. I hope each of you has found community with each other and with God this morning. To paraphrase Margaret Averson, any of us who seek after Jesus risks losing forever any belonging that we thought defined ourselves. What used to define us, we who now seek after Jesus in a divided and hostile world? And what one quality might define us best now as we reach into a troubled world? Who do we want to be? Let's pray. Almighty God, send down upon your church the riches of your Spirit and kindle in all who minister the gospel your gentle gifts of grace, mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm focusing today on the passage from Ephesians 2:12-18. Remember that you were at that time without the Messiah, alienated from the citizenship of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who used to be far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus, for he is our peace, the one who made both groups into one, and who destroyed the middle wall of partition, the hostility, when he nullified in his flesh the law of commandments in decrees. He did this to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace, and to reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by which the hostility has been killed. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, so that through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So here's Paul, writing from his prison cell in Rome to the people of Ephesus and the surrounding believing communities. He's not complaining about his own circumstances. He's reminding them of their amazing blessings, of their new identity in Christ, because he's totally assured of his own place and purpose in God. Of course, Gentiles had been excluded socially and spiritually from the promises of Israel's destiny given to Moses. God had promised to give his people a land, a priesthood, a nation, a kingdom, and a king, and to those who believed in him, eternal life in heaven. But the Gentiles, they had no hope. In Ephesians 2, verse 12, Paul uses a word to describe theirs and our former state, without God in the world. He says they and we were atheos, without God in the world. Atheos literally means godless and is where we get our word atheist from. They were hostile, they were excluded, and they had their own gods, known and unknown. This defined our once held position. Verse 12. Remember that you were at that time without the Messiah, alienated from the citizenship of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He reminds them that because of the covenant God made to Moses, building on the promises to Abraham, non-Jewish people were kept out of the blessings of God, that there was a protective barrier around the Jews that had now been removed in Jesus, whose atoning sacrifice is the new covenant. They once had no hope because they had been given no divine promises. But God, his new plan was for a multi-ethnic family, Jews and Gentiles, that would be known by peace. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who used to be far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, the one who made both groups into one and who destroyed the middle wall of partition, the hostility, when he nullified in his flesh the law of commandments in decrees. He did this to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace, and to reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by which the hostility has been killed. Now, there's quite a lot in that passage, but essentially Paul is saying there should be no hostility in us, and we should work to remove hostility in the world. Peace is our standard operating system, and peace is our vision for creation. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, so that through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. That peace that Jesus proclaimed is gained by access to God through the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 5 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm reading a book by Scott Sauls about one of these attributes. Scott reminds us that we know a lot about Jesus because he told us a lot about himself, about his beliefs and convictions, his mission and miracles, his death and resurrection and second coming. But there is only one time Jesus reveals his heart, his core being, who he is and always will be, way down deep. And that's in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Jesus himself said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Put my yoke upon your shoulders. It might appear heavy at first, but it is perfectly fitted to your curves. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart." Gentle and humble of heart. As Scott Sauls concludes, gentleness isn't a strategy Jesus resorts to now and then. It isn't one of his cards that he can lay down on the table. Jesus is gentle. Gentle is just who he is at the most profound level of his being. We have parachuted into a universe where gentleness is the ultimate reality, now and forever. No wonder that the true followers of Jesus stand out for their gentleness. How do we stand out? Well, we are rooted in the things we spend our lives in. That's kind of obvious. Paul wants the Ephesians, wants us, to be rooted in Christ. The more rooted in Christ, the more visible the effects will be, and the fruits of that connection will be over time. And these fruits are somewhat countercultural. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, all fruits of the Spirit that, whilst demanding, are just within my masculine reach. But gentleness? Jesus self-identifies as gentle, so I have to be gentle. We were talking on one Tuesday evening in our men's group at Whiteinch, which I love being a part of. We were talking about how the chief virtue is courage, because to attempt any other virtue, love, faith, hope, will always take courage. Gentleness has been described as the kind of strength that doesn't require you or me to constantly defend ourselves. Remind you of Jesus? Gentleness is the quality that alerts us to the truth that we have in Christ all the validation we need to be who we're called to be. We can experience a miraculous gentleness, witness Paul's own conversion from one of the most angry young men in history. But as Paul himself urges us, no doubt from experience, we have to work at this practice, this fruit of gentleness. I remember in my drilling to be a Royal Marine that the training team constantly reminded us, usually just after a class on unarmed combat, that it's a stronger man who can walk away from a fight. I always used to ponder that and think, well, aren't we here to fight for the realm, defend it? But I think I know what they meant. It takes strength to be gentle, not weakness. It must flow from our learnt conviction that we take our strength, our courage, from what God thinks about us, not the world, but God. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We are full members of the new multi-ethnic family, no longer Jew or Gentile, but gentle lions patterned on Jesus. We know whose we are and we know who we are. 17, so he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off. We are no longer far off, so who do we want to be? This is an important issue for Whiting's Church, one which Lal's recent talk spoke to, and I quote, Jesus wants to mediate, to heal the generational wounds which have shaped our society. Lal said, as a church, are we willing to partner with him in that? And it was given shape with Shona's timely reminder last week, for us to reflect deeply about what God has been saying to us, individually, corporately. Jesus said, I am gentle and humble. Imagine if we were gentle, if all our answers were gentle answers, if all our thoughts, gentle thoughts. Imagine a more gentle world with fewer barriers, less divisions, and reduced hostility. It's countercultural, but remember, it's not what we do, it's what we participate in. So invite and participate with the Holy Spirit to develop your courage for gentleness, because when we, who were once far off, fail to look or sound like Jesus, then we fail to produce lasting fruit and heal our far-off, hostile world. Gentle in spirit, after his Son, is who God wants us to be. And as Paul implores us just two chapters later, using Jesus' own words, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you, live a life that is worthy of the calling he has graciously extended to you. Be gentle, be humble, tolerate one another in an atmosphere thick with love. Make every effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit. Tolerate one another in an atmosphere thick with love. Make every effort to preserve the unity the Spirit has already created, with peace binding you together. Can we attempt that? Amen. Father God, teach us to be gentle in spirit. Help us to see the many ways you are gentle toward us. Show us how to stand for what is right without abandoning gentleness or respect. Let our gentleness be evident, a clear sign you are at work in our lives by your Spirit. We pray. Amen.